Thorns and the briars are a sign of the curse on the earth. When sin entered the world, man took a perfect creation and cast it into that old sin curse. And yet Jesus came, and we talk about the baby, the manger, and all the pretty things. But frankly, he came to bear the cross. And the thorns are that symbol of that curse that his blood washes away. Why would he do that? Little boy was asked one day in Sunday school. Sunday school teacher said, "Tell me what forgiveness is." And the little boy said, "That's the smell of a rose when it's crushed beneath the foot." When Jesus was crushed, as crazy as it sounds, there was a sweet-smelling savor that reached all the way to heaven. God says, that satisfies the debt, and it's paid in full. Aren't you glad for the rose? Let's take our Bibles, if you will, please. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. By the way, we'll be back tonight at 6 o'clock. I hope you'll be here. That's something I think will be a blessing to you. Luke chapter 2. Shouldn't have done it. I need to blow my nose. Pardon me.
Luke chapter 2.
And read a couple from Matthew, and then we'll have our message. Appreciate you being here this morning. Appreciate you taking your time to be here this morning. Really do. Luke chapter 2, verse number 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this tax, boys, sounds like Pennsylvania, doesn't it? And this taxing was first made when, by the way, gas tax goes up on January 1st, another 8 cents. Can you imagine? Anyway, I'm sorry. I'm sure Mary and Joseph weren't any more thrilled about the taxes either. Verse 2, and this taxing was first made when when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, means the house of bread, because he was of the house and lineage of David. And to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Let me go back and read just a couple of verses in Matthew. You can turn to it if you want to be fast. Matthew 1:22, but just be there for two verses. Matthew 1:22 says, "Now all this was done." It talks. If you start in verse 18, it talks about how the angel came to Joseph and all the things he went through and so forth, but to put his wife away and all this, he wanted to, wasn't sure what to do. Verse 22, "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." Now verse 22 is telling all this was done. There was a lot of things they had to go through. And all this was done to fulfill what the prophets had said. And what was that to accomplish? The end of verse 23, so that God would be with us. So that God would be with us. And this morning I want to talk on this topic, when God works undercover. I take it from that passage, all this was done that it might be fulfilled. There's a lot of things going on in our lives, and you wonder, what in the world is God doing? All this is done so that His will may be fulfilled. Let's pray. Father, we thank You again for this morning. Thank You for a Sunday You give us that we can come to Your house, celebrate the day that You came. Then, Lord, I'm not sure we know this is the day that was. In fact, it probably was sometime in spring with the shepherds out in the field and so forth. But, Lord, this is the day we've set aside. If You wanted us another exact day, You would have told us. But, Lord, we set this day aside just to thank You for leaving Your throne, condescending to the earth to be born in a manger amongst the animals, amongst the stench of human beings. And Lord, I pray that You'll bless us here this morning. May each one get what they needed here this morning. May it's Your Holy Spirit to move. I can't do it, but You can. And so we give You the service and give You the praise. And we ask in Christ's name. Amen. I believe that sometimes we think that our devotion to God should exempt us from problems in life. We somehow conclude that if we're good little boys and girls, that problems will pass by us, but that's not always the case. In Luke 20, in what we read there, it says, if you go back to Luke chapter 1, verse 26, back one chapter, Luke 1, verse 26, says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored. God likes you. The Lord is with you. Blessed art thou among women. Now, apparently, she was a pretty good gal. When the angels told her what was going to happen, she said, well, how can this be? And he explained it. And even with all the things that were going on, verse 38, she says, and Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. All these crazy things were going to happen. She says, but that's okay. Bring it on. I'm at your service. In Matthew, we read it in chapter 1, verse 18. It tells us of Joseph's character. It says that, now the birth of Christ was on this wise, when as a mother, Mary was espoused to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take thee unto Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And so Joseph was a good man as well. He was a good man. And he filled his part. Verse 25, he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son and called his name Jesus. And so he took her to be his wife, trusted God. A lot of things were going to be going on, but he trusted what the Lord had in mind. Now, these were good folks trying to do right, wanting to start a family like everyone else gets to. But all of a sudden, God throws this monkey wrench into the mix. And sometimes it seems as if God blindsides us or sends some needless problem into our lives for no good reason. The real problem is that we're short-sighted. We're short-sighted. We can't see the forest for the trees. We're so focused on us. We don't realize that there's a bigger picture and a bigger plan. In actuality, God sometimes uses those who have a special relationship with Him and uses them in special ways. Mary and Joseph had earned God's trust to do right, no matter what the circumstances threw at them. Gabriel said to Mary, she was special. Came and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord's with thee. Blessed art thou among women." Elizabeth said so too. In verse 42, she said, "And she spake out a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb." Others said, in Luke 22, it says, "And it came to pass that he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, Blessed is the woman, the womb that bare thee, and the paps that thou hast sucked." Joseph was willing to relinquish his husbandly privileges and knew her not until she brought forth her firstborn son. Not all men could have handled such things. Now, I want us to realize that there's a bigger plan than just what we can see. And all the things that we see around us and all the situations that we must go through are all part of God's plan, whether we can see it or not. Well, can this really all be of God with all these problems? Now, let me back off here. There are some times we bring on our own problems, okay? You make a bad decision, don't blame that on God, the consequences, okay? I'm not talking about those here this morning. You know, some people have made some pretty poor decisions, and then they, you know, well, I guess God meant it all. No, he didn't mean this part because you weren't supposed to be doing that. What were you doing down there, you know? All right. But there are some things that come in and become part of your life you didn't have anything to do with. Didn't have anything to do with. And all of a sudden, it shows up. And we think, well, can God really be it? He must have forgotten me. I thought God was supposed to make my life better when you surrender, not worse. Where'd he go? I don't see God working in my life anymore. Mary and Joseph had it all planned out. They thought. And then God comes in and messes everything up. He didn't mess anything up. He brought him to a higher calling and a higher purpose, higher glory, higher praise. Let's see what we had here. First thing, I want you to see, there were some personal problems. Some personal problems in this situation. We've talked about it. I think Brother Nathan talked about it a little bit here this morning. We've talked about it before. These are two good people. And all of a sudden, they have to deal with the scandal and the stigma of this unwed mother. Stigma. And you know, you just can't explain off the angel thing. In fact, my guess, there's some folks who said, well, you know, I always thought that Mary was kind of a even keel type of gal. She always seemed kind of normal and straight and intelligent and wise. And what in the world? Maybe the poor girl had a stroke. I don't know. All of a sudden, she thinks she's seeing angels. Maybe the trauma of finding out that she was expecting and all this just cast her into this spin. Or maybe she's just not, you know, it's the quiet ones, you know. What's the deal with telling me? The embarrassment from those who don't understand the real situation. And even if they knew the truth, would they believe it? Listen, there's times in your life when God takes you through things and you know that God's in it. Don't let somebody cast a lot of doubt on it. There's some things between you and the Lord. In the midst of all the personal problems they have to travel, they have to travel to Bethlehem now when she's pregnant. Now, they didn't get in the Subaru and go over the hill. I mean, it was a long trip. It was a hard trip. I don't even want to go home on a donkey. And I only live 4.5 miles away. I mean, you know why we have little churches on all these little corners and crevices of our county? Because They folks lived on, years ago. They lived on farms. They traveled by horse and buggy. They wanted to be able, they had to take care of the animals and the farm and get up, and then they go to church, and so they had to harness up the horse and put it on the buggy and put the kids in there and get them going. And they didn't want to go 4 or 5, 6 miles. The buggy only went 3 or 4 miles an hour on the roads the way they were. Listen, they went a long way. And she's pregnant. She's expecting. Some ladies don't even like to travel in the car when they're 9 months or 8 months, much less get on an animal. Of all things, they have to do this to register for a tax. Now, we know they weren't necessarily wealthy. When they dedicated Christ, they brought the two turtle doves there. They didn't bring the sacrifice for those who had more to give. They gave the minimum because that's all they had. So you got this young couple trying to struggle to set up household. They got these people who think they're not sure. They told them, okay. And you know they don't believe it. So they got the stigma going on. They've got to travel to Bethlehem, and they got to register for taxes. And how they're going to be able to pay for the house? All these extra taxes. They're a young couple. They're poor. Trying to pull a few shekels together and start a household. Now they got to give it to the government. And they're being taxed by a foreign government that oppresses them and uses their money against them. They finally get to town. There's no place to stay. My soul. We've given ourselves to the Lord. We say whatever he wants is what we're doing. Oh, my soul. We complain about a sleazy motel once in a while. You know what I mean? Have you ever been in a town, you think there's nothing around but this one, and you kind of wonder, you keep your shoes on, you don't want to walk on the carpet and everything. You know what I mean? And they get to town, and there's nothing there but a stable. I live on South Salem Church Road, and there's a farm out there. You know what farmers do to make the crops grow better? Yeah, you do too. Did you hear a few years ago, they were having a big housing boom over in Lancaster County. And all these folks were coming out of the city, going out into the beautiful hills of Lancaster County during the wintertime and buying these houses. Well, spring came along. And I said, what is this? This beautiful farm. I can't stand the stench. And they said, well, what did you think? You're living in the middle of Lancaster farming country. What did you expect to happen? So you know what they started doing? They started, if you started looking at houses in that area, they started giving you a scratch and sniff thing. It's some years ago. They gave you a scratch and sniff cards. Scratch this. It's going to smell like this every so often during the year, just so you know. This is what it's going to be like. Can you feel what, just think about what Joseph was thinking. This is my bride. Take care of her. And all I can give her is a stinking stable. Can you imagine how Mary's mother may have complained about the conditions? So why would that? Listen, they were born in the city of David, and she was from David too. You always have this picture about them showing up in this dark little town and nobody else is there. Well, then why was the inn full? No, they had all gone to all the folks who scattered around who were part of the city of David had to go to the same town to be taxed. The place was crawling with people. To be honest with you, there's a good chance that their folks went with them if they were still alive. I'm not trying to mess up your Christmas story and your nativity scene, but his mother-in-law might have been standing right there behind him. I don't know. I don't know, but they're all part of the same. You know, they can't be part of David without their parents being part of David, right? So anyway, can you imagine what she said? Joseph, is this all you can do? Is this the best you can do? This is my daughter. I don't know. If either she didn't say that, he probably felt it. You try to serve the Lord, and then just like no matter what you do, every direction you turn, it's like it's just getting worse. You know what Mary said? Be unto me according to thy word. Now that was before it all started happening. There's no place where it shows she ever backed out. She had surrendered to do God's will. But you know, when you surrender to do God's will, you would think God would be pleased and would honor that. But you know, God doesn't really get the glory until it's the unusual thing occurring. Something you wouldn't normally see. You know, you would think, well, wouldn't God take better care of his only begotten son than this? Right? And he said, I want you to come and I'm going to show the world how far I will go to save your soul. How far I will go to show you that I love you. And you know what we're thinking? Well, we're really putting ourselves out here for you, God. All the stigma, all the bother, all the traveling, all the taxes. I think you take better care of us than this. There were personal problems. We all have personal problems. That doesn't mean God's not working. God's doing, he's working undercover. He's coming around the backside. He's coming from a direction we're not expecting. Number two, once you see that there were some public problems. Public problems. This is interesting. Okay, so if God is using two young folks from Nazareth to do his will, that shouldn't affect us. Certainly God can leave us alone. Do you realize the whole world is in bondage to the world system, which shows our kind of our bondage to sin. And the whole historical context for the last 400 years leading up to this event, from Malachi to Matthew, all the world is in sin and darkness pining away. And all looks lost. And sometimes we need to feel totally hopeless before we will take a Savior's hand. And I think God allowed us to look bad. The whole world is disrupted and moved all over creation just to get Mary and Joseph in Bethlehem at the right time. They didn't live in Bethlehem, but the Savior is going to be born in Bethlehem, Micah tells us. So you know what God does? He stirs up to say the whole world shall be taxed. All the known world at the time had to shift and go to their place, this place, everybody. He's moving around the whole world. They have no idea what God's doing. But God's working his plan. Sometimes our lives are being messed up. Maybe it's personally. Maybe it's just in the midst of all the public mess. But God's doing a work to bring mankind to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. There's a lot of things going on in our lives right now, in our world right now. I mean, there's turmoil all over the world. It gets people stirred up. I can't tell you how many people, Christian, non-Christian, who will tell me, what do you think the end of the world's about here? Get some thinking. Why? Because the Lord has stirred them all up. Stirred them all up. Something's going to happen. Micah 5:2 says, but thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Matthew 2:4 says, the chief priests and the scribes told Herod and the wise men that Jesus must be born in Bethlehem. In John 7:37, it says, won't the Messiah come from Bethlehem? The whole world was to be taxed oppressed by this foreign power, the whole world. Folks who have no clue what's going on are shuffled around like pieces of chess on the chessboard to bring out God's plan. Many babies were sent to heaven early so they could have a Savior because of Herod's execution. The whole world, at least it seemed like it, is convinced. They're inconvenienced. They're oppressed. And we look so much at the immediate condition of our happiness that we miss the big picture. Do you think the world understands what's going on around them and amongst them? They have no idea what's going on. The fact is, we're leading to the second coming of Christ right now. God is bringing things together. We're inconvenienced and we complain, but you know, in some ways, even so, come, Lord Jesus, it's exciting about what God has on the docket for us. There were personal problems. There were public problems. Let me give you something else, though. Personal problems lead to glory. Glory is brought to God as folks see how we view this world. How can they have such peace in the midst of a storm? Mary said, "Be it unto me as you, according to thy will." How do you handle your personal problems? There are things that come at us we don't understand, but God's working behind the scenes. He's working undercover. You may not see it. They may not see it, what he's doing. But they see the problem. They see the issue. And they see how you handle it. Do you surrender to God's will? You can't change it. There's a lot of things in life we cannot change the circumstances. But we can show God through the circumstances. The taxing showed that Joseph and Mary were of the house and the lineage of David because the Messiah would come from the line of David. This was official proof of this in the world's eyes. And the crowd in town was necessary to put Mary and Joseph in such living conditions in order for God to show that he came for everyone. And he was born in a manger, probably around animals, at least in the stench of animals, who comes to see, and shepherds that are the outcasts of society. And yet they welcome. You hear this like a conversation from the shepherds and Mary and Joseph. George Mueller had a hand-to-mouth ministry to orphans. He was a missionary. He ran an orphanage over in England years ago, and they didn't know what they were going to do, how they were going to feed. He said, "This is what I want to do." He says, "I want my ministry to show that God can." He had a ministry to hundreds and hundreds of little people, orphans. Start with a few. He says, "I'm never going to ask for money other than ask of God." And then the whole world will see that God is the one who takes care of us. God will get the glory. And he did. But you know what? There was times when they only had. In fact, there were some times they didn't have. The story is told that a time or two they sat down to have a meal, and there was nothing to give the children. And they prayed, thanking God for the food they were about to eat, and there was none. They get finished praying, and they say amen, and they'll knock on the door. And the man with his milk wagon, which had broken down just down the street, is knocking at their door and says, "It's going to spoil if I don't give it to you, so I won't be back, so you might as well go ahead and take it here." Now, some of you might laugh at this, but I think God kicked their wheel off. He did it to the Egyptians. He can do it to a milk wagon. He did something. See, we're scared to go to those points in life, but it's those points in life where God shows his power and his faithfulness all the greater. They had those personal problems lead to glory to God. The public problems led to the first coming of Christ. God prepared the world for his first coming by dispersing them and allowing sin to overwhelm them and beat them down. He did. Many times we must come to a place where we are oppressed by our sin and our circumstance before we will come to God. Then he sends John the Baptist in the spirit of Elijah, who is a man like of like passion such as we, to preach repentance to the world. And God of them must break us so that we will admit our sin and repent and seek a Savior. All these things are going on. Sometimes the things in our lives beat us down. We don't understand why he's doing what he's doing. But God has a plan that he's saying, I'm going to do something in your life, but I've got to get your attention first. And we're complaining about this, complaining about that. He says, I'm hoping you're going to complain enough to come to me. That I can show you my power. As long as we see no need for repentance, we will see no need of a Savior. And if we don't see ourselves as a sinner in need of a Savior, then the Savior can do us no good. I don't want to get into something here, but this morning on the way to church, there's a preacher on the local Christian radio station, which is from a Reformed Presbyterian church. And he's Calvinistic. And he was preaching, and I'm sorry, it's a heresy. I don't want to make anybody mad, but it's a heresy. He said, man can do absolutely nothing, just have to wait around for God to decide that you're going to be born again. I mean, he explained it very clear. There's no way for us to come to him by ourselves. And then he turns around and talks about how when Nicodemus shows up at the house there at nighttime with Jesus, Jesus says, marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. If it's all true, then Nicodemus is going to say, but I can't. But you must. But I can't. But you must. Why don't you just take the guy and beat his head against the wall? So God brings us to a point where we choose him. He wanted you to choose him just like you wanted your spouse to choose you. Out of all the people in the world, all the guys in the world, my wife chose me. She doesn't know she got a bad deal, but I understand. She doesn't know she's got a whole lot more than when she married me too, though. It was a good investment. God brings us to the point that we choose him. And let me say this. All these issues, and we've kind of touched on this, all these public problems, all these things going on in our world are setting the stage of the second coming of Christ. These are things that are setting society as a whole, that the society needs to go through in order for us to be prepared for a second coming. 2 Timothy 3 talks about in the last days, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, more than lovers of God, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, all this stuff preparing us. 2 Timothy 3:13 says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And why is God so long and drawn out in this practice? Because he's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Amen. Now, a little question. We're getting almost done here. Sometimes you feel used. Sometimes you feel used. God's doing this and this and this and this. I really didn't want to go through this. I've known some families, so help me, I think they have the ministry of suffering. I'm not even saying that humorlessly, humorously. It just seems like that's their ministry. And they just keep plugging along, keep plugging along, keep looking to the Lord. I don't want that ministry. But God, if He gives you the ministry, He gives you the grace. And we go through things, sometimes we feel like we're being used, but wouldn't it be a wonderful thing to be used of God? Matthew 1:22 says, "All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet." All this was done so that God could do what His plan was to do as He has called us to do. It's in Matthew 1:23, it says, "All this was done so that God could be with us." You realize sometimes that we walk closer to God when we're under the gun. It's a shame. And I think sometimes we could probably walk close to God without being under the gun, and we could maybe avoid some of that. I really do believe that happens. But boy, we're hard-headed. And sometimes God's got to put us under the gun till we're back in the place where we need to be. Not just coming and filling a pew, though we should be in church. But I mean walking with God in our life and our heart. Spending time with Him personally. Speaking to Him, talking to Him. All this was done. All this. He moved. Listen, He made a virgin be born, give birth to a little baby, suffer all the stigma. He's brought a poor man to decide whether he's going to marry this girl or not. Just think what they had to do with the family, with the neighborhood, the nosy lady next door, and the gossip down the street, and all this going on. Then they had to go all the way to Bethlehem. They had to pay more taxes. When they got down there, they had to escape Bethlehem while Herod's killing babies. Then they come back, all this stuff's going on, the whole world had to be shuffled around so that we could be saved from hell. If none of this happened, He wouldn't have died for our sins, and we'd still be in our sins. What I'm saying is, watch. There's decisions that you'll make, mom, dad, grandmom, grandpa, and those who are going to be parents, teenagers. We're going to make decisions in our life that's going to affect somebody, some generation down the road. Pick on Mrs. Huffman back here. This is Tim's mom. And she comes down for the holiday. Well, there's decisions that family made years ago, and they were in this church years ago. Now, Tim's one of our deacons. Now, we said, listen, you make decisions now, it makes a difference in the long run. It could make the difference for generations to come. Because all this was done, watch, all this was done to prepare the world to receive the Savior. And even to receive the Savior now for the second coming. Maybe it does seem mean. But you know what? Many folks are going to get a trip to heaven out of this thing. Before we complain about all that goes on in our lives, we need to remember it is all part of God's plan. And sometimes God works undercover, and we have no clue what all is going on. That doesn't mean that He's forgotten us. Sometimes our part of the plan is just to be part of the crowd. Sometimes our drama part is just to be an extra in the background of the scene. Sometimes we're just person number three and shepherd number two. And sometimes we have a starring role, and other times we're just filler. The point is, whether we can see the big picture or not, God has a plan, and we're part of the plan, and the plan is for our good as well as for the good of others. And we need to stop questioning God, surrender to God, and play our role, because God knows best. We need to do right no matter the circumstances. 1 John 1:28 says, "And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming." God sometimes works undercover. He was doing a lot of that during the time of Jesus' birth. There's probably a lot of questions. And yet we can look back of it from hindsight and see all that God has done. And I'm so glad he did. And you may be going through something right now that makes absolutely no sense. And you surrendered to the Lord. He said, here I am, use me. And now he's using you and we're complaining. Well, I didn't know it meant this. Well, you didn't know it didn't. But do you want to be used of God, be found faithful, thou good and faithful servant? Or say, well, I couldn't do anything with him. And so this job never really got done right. This generation never heard what they were supposed to hear. This family made some decisions, and the descendants went this way instead of that way, all because somebody wasn't willing to say, be thou unto me according to thy will. Father, thank you for speaking to our hearts here this morning. Thank you for what you're going to do. Use us here this morning. Heads are bowed and her eyes are closed. She's going to turn to 306 here in a minute and start playing. Lord's spoken to your heart here this morning. What's God doing in your life? You know, Christmas is a hard time. It's a real hard time because, you know, there's times you think, well, you want everything to be perfect. We've got it all lined out, the decorations, the food, the lighting, and then something comes in and just seems to mess it all up. You had all the plans. She had a picture of a little house, her husband Joseph coming home from the carpenter shop, the kids running out to greet him, raising, just doing their own life, not trying to be anybody, just living life. And then all of a sudden God shows up and changes the whole plan. You know what we got to do? We got to go along with him. Heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. Piano's playing. Have his own way.